This is Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me as usual, co-host AJ Applegarth. What's up, man?
Hola.
Hola. All right, good. Good talk. And our...
Let's talk about...
You know, our baseball...
Not my own personal...
Second, third host, whatever. I don't know. Dap, what's up, man?
Hey, man, what's going on?
A lot, but in a good mood. We have finally hit the breaking point on our YouTube channel. We are monetized. Woohoo! Yeah. All right. Sorry for all the ads, people, but gotta make some money. Hope you enjoy the show.
And we're out.
And it's already paused.
Yeah. People are already closed. They're not even getting this far. Anyway, so tonight, we're going to be jumping into some players that we're calling it the breakout or bust, right? And so what we mean by this is some players who started off the season hot, whether it be the you know, the first couple weeks in May or, you know, maybe kind of spread into the early part of May, but have really slowed down. Like, they were on breakout pace. Maybe not anymore. So we gotta maybe pump the brakes, or do we? Or is it just a little bit of a slump? So we're gonna look into some of that. Before we jump into all that, though, I just want to remind everybody to please hit that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, leave those comments. We appreciate it. And of course, go to fantasysixpack.net/plans and become an all access member. You can get access to the most accurate rankings for fantasy baseball out there. Our award-winning fantasy football rankings are also posted for the multiple different ways you can play redraft, dynasty, IDP, rookie drafts, you name it. It's all out there. We've got DFS content, betting content, and our Discord, where you can get access to all of us and ask us your customized league questions. And, you know, that's where it's at, guys. So, without further ado, let's jump into things here.
I love it.
So breakout or bust. And so we're going to start with a guy that probably just talked about like a week ago, because he was literally on fire. And that is Christopher Morel of the Chicago Cubs. This dude had like one of the most amazing, like 2 week stretches of baseball. And if I'm looking at the stats here for Morel, he had in early May a WRC plus of 217. So for the first couple of weeks in May, he was crazy good. Right. He has now dropped. His late May, it was still pretty good overall, but it's dropped to 145.
Okay.
But the stats even just in the last week are worse than that. So going in the wrong direction and going in the wrong direction fast. I believe he's got two hits in the last week-ish, like from since the 24th. Yep. So not good. you know, after binging on home runs for the first part of the month, he has not hit any. So what are we taking from Morel? Was the early part of May a fluke, Dap, or is he going to come back?
Right. Look, first off, I mean, that was probably one of the hottest stretches of like that I can remember, you know, recently for the last couple of seasons. And as baseball has always shown us, right, somebody gets super hot, there's going to be a drop off. It's there's constant, you know, adjustments being made by both the pitcher, the hitters, et cetera. So this is going to be a time that he needs to adjust back. Just to kind of go a little bit further with what you're saying, just the last couple games, you know, he was 2-for-19, but the things that just stood out, right? He's almost 40% K rate, and his WRC, which should be positive. I don't even want to get into what the number should be, right? It's about 100, you know, league average. It's negative 54. So just without, again, getting into it, bad, right? So, but here's the positives. He's on the Cubs, which means that he has a ton of at-bats available to him. They need somebody to, you know, step up. And I don't think it's a fluke in the sense of when you start, you know, smacking home runs. Baseball is too hard of a sport to just hit that many home runs and just be kind of fluky about it. I think he's going to have to adjust to the other pitches. I don't think we're going to, you know, see the home run binge that we did see before. But I think there is a moral somewhere in between all this.
Hey.
I don't. And I need to just thank my writer real quick. Thank you. I know they're on a strike, but you did good there. Anyways.
Funny.
Yeah. I mean, look, he has amazing tools. We were always waiting for him to come up this season. So the talent's there. This isn't like some unknown prospect that just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But for sure, we weren't expecting this at all. And again, 11 home runs in the minors. We talked about this last, you know, show in 29 games. So their power numbers are there. I just, you definitely, if you own them, you got to, you know, this is the time where either hopefully you sold high if you can, you know, afford to do that, or you're just going to have to wait it out and wait for him to adjust, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, you see this with rookies, you know, young guys all the time. They're, even the best go through these, you know, stretches where you're just like, what the hell is going on?
right.
That's going to happen even more with young players. And, you know, he's just going through one right now, unfortunately. So I think I ultimately think he's going to be fine. You know, like, as you said, 11 home runs and however many home runs he hit already. Like, he's hit 9 home runs in 19 games. But he hit like 9 of those in the first like 12. Like,
right.
That's just not sustainable. Right. You know, that's like record breaking pace. Let's put it that way. So,
record breaking pace here is the 0% walk rate in early May. That is astounding to me. Yet his K rate was almost 40%.
Right.
Again, 4 homers. So it's like, okay, well, I guess he's not walking. He's just crushing them all. So, yeah, I agree with Dap's points about it being the Cubs. I mean, I almost laughed when he said, hey, this is a good place, but I mean, it is for the at-bats. That's about
right.
It. But the team's not really in any kind of shape to be making a legit run towards the playoffs right now. So, you know, they may have some of their pieces traded off too come another month or so.
Morrell will likely not be one of those trade-off players.
No, he will.
He's too valuable. He's too young. There's no way. I mean, that's why the Cubs acquired all of these old heads out there so that they could hopefully get good and then trade them off for younger pieces. That is 100% the reason why they did it.
Yep.
So next up here, we're going to talk about Tristan Casas. We're talking about a guy who came up in this early part of May, a WRC plus of 147, pretty solid. Lately down to 67. So there was a glimmer of hope, it seems like, but it seems like it's turning in the wrong direction. Again, these are kind of smallish sample sizes, but, you know, with these types of players, we're talking about that 14-day range where it matters with guys that are going to fluctuate like this. You know, they're kind of streamable players, a lot of them. Maybe not Morel, but Casas could be in that category. And so, Dap, what's your initial thoughts here, and what do we do with Casas?
Oh, I own too many shares of Casas. Just I'm going to just, like you're watching, you know, CNBC, where they tell you, like, I own shares of this company. I own too many shares of Casas. I'm going to just let you know. I'm a Casas truther. If you look underneath the stats, right, like if you look at any of his metrics, you know, everything's in the red except for obviously strikeouts and things of that nature. But if you're in an OBP league, Tristan Casas is definitely, you know, your man. And if you look at, you know, hard hit percentages and those types of things, right? Definitely one of the top hitters in all those metrics. I keep waiting for this to turn around. I mean, that's all it comes to. Like, you go to, I've become that Twitter walking dead person that's like looking for Tristan Casas just for some like happy news. And it's like, you know, and all I see is like, oh, look how hard, you know, this ball was that he hit into somebody's glove, or look at how well he took this 14 pitch at bat. I mean, at the end of it, he struck out, but there's 14 pitches. It just gets to a point where he needs to just start producing some of these counting stats. I mean, yes, you can look back a couple of weeks where he hit, you know, some huge bombs. And that's the thing. Casas is a bunch of, you know, extremes. Extreme walk percentage, extreme ability to, you know, see pitches. And when he does hit the ball, man, he hits it hard and he hits it far. But that's not what we get money for. I mean, that's not where you get the stats for in fantasy, right? You get for five categories typically, unless you're in a different league. And he's just not producing enough, frankly. I mean, he's been riding my bench in almost every league except one, which is like a 30-teamer. And I just don't know how anybody can start him right now until I start seeing him be put back together.
Yeah.
The fans are clamoring for him to go to AAA. But again, you look at those metrics and he should be producing way higher than what he's doing now. He's a quandary. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, take out his game on the 26th of May where he went 3-for-5, 2 runs, 1 RBI, 600 OBP. And he's been pretty terrible this last, you know, few weeks, really, since the 15th of May. He's got 1, 2, 3, 5 hits, a handful of runs, 3.
Yep.
1 homer. I mean, that's not inspiring much confidence in anything other than, yay, I found somebody I can definitely keep on my bench. Like, if you have too many offensive bats that you want to get in your lineup. I mean, on the season, he's only hitting 193. I mean, I feel like this should be better. I expected more out of him. Maybe these are just some growing pains, whatnot, but I don't know. I mean, he's another guy with a near 40% K rate in late May. And only 7.5% walk rate. I mean, this seems to be the theme here that we're going to talk about. No walks and lots of Ks.
All right, so let me ask you both this question then. If Tristan Casas is out there on the trade like block from some other team, are you going out to acquire him? Is he an acquisition candidate for you guys?
Oh, not. I'd have to be pretty desperate at first base in order to just feel. I know first base is the wasteland, but like we've talked about it many times. Where like there's been some guys kind of come out of nowhere this year that have been valuable, and like it just seems like there's constantly somebody popping up, like the next hot bat. You know, seems to be a first baseman. Why not just keep doing that and not have to worry about a 193 batting average from Tristan Casas, which lately has been way worse. I mean, even in an OBP league, like. You know, you're looking at him and you're going, oh, cool, 14.5 walk rate.
That's
great. That still means his OBP is 308 because you can't do it on base other than walking, it seems like. So, like, again, to your point, like, he should be better with, you know, only a 20. Like, I get it, 28% strikeout rate's bad. Not horrible in today's game.
Right.
Like, it's definitely not the worst.
Be below 30. Yeah.
And then you add a 14.5% walk rate, you're thinking, okay, that's pretty decent, but it's still. He just hasn't gotten on base enough. His hard hit rate just isn't enough. He's just not hitting the ball clean enough. His barrels are not there. And so it's not a complete game from him yet. I do think it's coming. Maybe not this year. I mean, you know, maybe next year is like the true breakout year for Casas. We're going to see glimpses of it this season, I feel like, but it's going to come in waves. Speaking of coming in waves here with a hot or not player here, and it's Nolan Gorman. I mean,
another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help.
For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We've talked about him a few times on the show earlier this season. You know, 237 WRC through the first part of May, down to 111. Still an above average hitter, so not horrible. But, I mean, like, is the true breakout, like, potential shine gone for you, Depp?
No, I'm not at all. Because, well, first off, again, I can't state this enough. I thought, you know, I thought he was going to become a part-time batter this year. I thought he was going to be on a platoon for sure. I mean, we're talking a week, maybe I think about 7 days ago, he was on a 15-game hitting streak, May 25th time frame. So, again, like we talked about, there's going to be cold streaks. I think Nolan Gorman, again, we've highlighted one of the big changes in his approach, which is always something I look at, right, to see if there's luck or longevity here. He's changed his two-strike approach. He changed his approach to high fastballs especially, which is a huge hole in his game. And that's, I think that this is just one of those cold streaks that's going to happen throughout the season. And I think Nolan Gorman for sure is somebody to, you know, if you could buy low on him, heck yeah. I'm buying all of Nolan Gorman I can. But yeah, this is short term for me.
Yeah, Gorman is actually the first guy that I'm looking at here with late May where he actually has some walks, 10%, but he's just over 30% for the K rate. I want to say he had, over the last 30 days, he's had 23 strikeouts. 18 of those have come in the last 15 days. So he's definitely, you know, missing balls a lot more over these past couple weeks. I think this is just a blip for him. He's still got, you know, okay OBP. You can live with it at 317 for late May. You know, but that's down from a 444.
Yeah, early May. So yeah, he's got 360 overall for the year.
Drastic, drastic changes that we're seeing with him. But I definitely think this is just a blip for him. I'm on board with you guys as well. If someone's looking to get rid of him for second base, I mean, that's kind of a dead zone too. So I'm all in on trying to trade for him.
And I think that's always the key here, right? Is that, do you become a buyer or seller right now? And there's going to be people that are going to freak out in, you know, late May, early June. But, and they're going to try to sell. And this is the time you pounce. And if anybody is selling Gorman right now at any type of a discount, grab them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, 100% agree there. Next on our notes here, we're going to go to somebody who plays for your favorite team, Depp, and that's Brent Rooker. This guy, man, was like the hot waiver ad for quite some time. Came out like gangbusters when he got the call. Now, granted, his early May WRC plus was 118. That wasn't his peak. He was way better than that for a little while. Okay. Now he's down to 34 over the last couple of weeks. So pretty massive drop. He has firmly supplanted himself on my bench. I'm still hoping for a slight bounce back, but man, looking at some of the underlying stats here, I'm not really sure it's going to happen. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's a reason why when you see somebody DFA'd by a team, which is what he was by the Twins, you know, there's not a lot of people that come back from that graveyard. Rooker, when he went off, it was always a matter of when he was going to come back down. Now, do I believe there's a chance for, you know, Rooker to come back to the level where he was earlier in this year? Absolutely. I mean, I think this guy has shown he can get hot before. He's shown he's got mammoth power. And if you look at his, you know, Baseball Savant page, he's still red in all the right places, except for, you know, whiffs.
Strikeouts and whiffs, yep.
Right, and chasing. I think this is a guy who, there's two things going on here. One, I'm almost sure he's going to get, you know, sold because he has some value, and the A's just seem like they're just, I don't know what the heck they're doing. They hate their fans and they hate their players, so I think they're probably going to sell
somebody
Rooker.
Shows any sort of talent, they're like, oh no, you don't belong here.
Yeah. Whoa, buddy. I mean, you know, how dare you cash those checks? So you know, and if he leaves, you know, one of the worst hitting stadiums, right? ODOT.co is just a cavern. You know, watch out.
Aren't they building a minor league park in Vegas for them to all hit from? He should well there, right?
Exactly. if he's still on the team at that point, I mean, who knows? They might give him the wrong address and he might end up somewhere else. But I think that this is going to be definitely somebody that contenders are going to be looking for. I think that somebody could be probably had cheaply. Just looking at the trades that the A's have made recently, I mean, the AL or NL East are just going to eat them alive on some type of trade deadline thing. So I would look to see if he gets traded and see what kind of trade, you know, where he ends up. But the second piece is I think he's going to get hot. Drop him for sure if you need to drop him, but keep an eye out because if he hits, you know, that, you know, home run and then, you know, the next game he starts filling up the stat sheet, you're going to want to pick him up quick. So it's one of those things where he's going to make you pay if you drop him and forget him. For sure. I see a hot streak at some point this season. A couple weeks, this is definitely the kind of player that could do it for you.
He has one barrel in the last 2 weeks. That's pretty bad.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Charles, Rooker won a batting title at Mississippi State, I believe.
Wow.
Well, okay. That's the difference between college and the pros, because that ain't happening for him.
Well, I mean, give him a metal bat.
Pretty maybe, shocking.
Give him a metal bat. Maybe he'll do it again.
Right.
So speaking of metal bat versus wooden bat, totally off topic here, but what if instead of the corked bat, we had a sleeve bat that was metal on the inside
with the wood grain,
had a random wood grain coating on it? I mean, I guess you'd still hear
I was about to say, if they somehow got rid of the away, pain, yeah, but.
Yeah. I don't see that working very well.
Just something to think about, people.
Yeah. Anyway, Deb, I agree with you. He's droppable, but watch out for the next hot streak. Go try to grab him. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't burn you. But right now, he's doing you no good. You know, he's another one of those Super Bowl players. Nobody's buying him off of you. At least they shouldn't. If you can sell him, kudos to you. And I want in that league next year.
Yes,
hit me up
for sure.
So are you not buying him then the rest of the season?
I'm going to be buying him at some point, but I'm buying him off the waiver wire.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I want.
Right.
So we're actually making pretty good time. So let's rip through the rest of these. We kind of had like our little break point here, Mickey Moniak, another guy here, man. The first part of the month was on fire. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
294 WRC plus for the first 2 weeks of May.
Wow.
Just insane good. Now the last part of May here, it's listing the last 2 weeks as 153. It's way worse than that the last week. I mean, he doesn't even play every day now. It's bad.
That's the big knock, because I went after him in my points league. It's like, oh, wow, he's got a ton of points out of nowhere.
Right.
I'm like, okay, why not? I'll try this on.
It's exactly what I did. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? It couldn't.
2 weeks.
Can't be that bad. No.
Okay. All right. This is looking pretty good. I mean, he was putting up a 7.5, a negative half, a 5, 8.5, 8, and then he didn't play for 2 days or 2 games.
He just didn't play, which was a weird thing.
He's had 2 hits yesterday, so he had an okay game yesterday. But I mean, he's still striking out a ton. I mean, his OBP and his slugging is kind of all over the place. You just don't know what you're getting on this, but you're not getting much right now. And the fact that he can't be on the field every day really hurts him more than anything. Kind of like the Cubs, the Angels are a team where you should be able to get at bats if you're producing or if you're not producing, just throw them out there and see what happens. You know, Moniak was a prized prospect coming up through the Philly system. They traded him to LA, and I was ecstatic when they did because I was tired of hearing about all of the hype behind him that he never showed. But I kept the tabs on him, and I looked and was like, okay, maybe he's turning around. Let's see what's happening. And now again, because I picked him up, he's screwing everybody. So you're welcome, America.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the kid does not walk at all. I mean, right. One walk on the entire season, I believe. But yeah, over the last week and a half, he's played in 4 games.
that's good, right? That's good?
That's really good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The last couple of games, he finally started hitting again, and he got the 2 runs yesterday. But yeah, it's just you can't stay on the field. A lot of swing and miss, no walks. And, I mean, that's why he's going to the bench, because it's a lot of swing and miss potential, and he's not walking. He's just, the on-base percentage isn't there, and so the Angels are, you know, they're in it to win some games, and he ain't doing it for him right now. So, what you got? Yeah, any thoughts, Dap, on that?
I mean, we're talking about the former first overall pick of the 2016 draft. I mean, I know AJ during the show prep said that he played for the Detroit Tigers, and you know, I'm glad you corrected yourself, AJ, and now we got it right on the
totally on the
Phillies. Yeah. Yeah, so I remember that. Look, I mean, there's again, I think that I just give you a couple names. Just give you a couple names on the 2016 draft, right? They missed out on AJ Puck, which, I mean, he's doing better now, right? Kyle Lewis, always injured. Josh Lowe, Eric Kirilloff, and then a bunch of names on here that's always injured, like Forrest Whitley. I mean, it's a bad draft if you wanted a guy that's actually stay healthy. But, he came as the first overall, but he wasn't showing much in the high minors. With the Philly system. So I don't know. I never bought in on this resurgence. And especially if he's become a part-time player, that's not going to be how he learns or how he kind of corrects himself. So yeah. I am completely out of Moniak.
I mean, he's another one of those. I bought in on the hot streak, and as soon as it died off, I sold, and you know, sold back to the waiver wire. That's all you could do. Like nobody's taking him off your hands. Guy here who's a little bit of a veteran, a little bit different than what we've been talking about so far.
Right.
Garrett Cooper. So been around the block a few times. Maybe not so much breakout potential, right? But I mean, like, he's never really had this like huge, massive season. But he's been hitting really well overall. 246 WRC plus in the first part of May, down to 34. I mean, like, was that just too good to be true? Like, man, I feel like Cooper's always been a guy that, like, he's got power. So, like, why hasn't it worked? I know he gets injured a lot. So that's not helping his cause over the last, you know, his entire career. I don't know, Dap, like, could he turn things back around and, like, actually keep that hot start going? Or...
Right.
He's just going to fizzle back out at like, maybe 12 home runs on the whole season, maybe 15 at max, which is his career high.
So Garrett Cooper is always one of my friends on Best Ball. I love me some Garrett Cooper on Best Ball. And so when we brought up that, you know, he was going to be on the show, I really wanted to dig a little deeper beyond the stats. And we can talk about the stats here in a second. But I want to point out one thing to everybody that's watching. So per Skip Schumacher, right, the manager, Garrett Cooper is experiencing similar symptoms to the illness that landed him on the IL a few weeks ago. And he's gone for further evaluation. So I think that the reason why he's been terrible the last couple of weeks, I just don't think he's completely right. Just to kind of give you an idea, right-handed pitching, right, is he's starting to sit against right-handed pitching, which he shouldn't be doing. On the year, 117 plate appearances, 189 batting average with a 565 OPS. That's just not going to do it. So I really think there's something wrong there. Fundamental, I mean, like, you know, beyond like with his health that's causing this, because honestly, there's just too much talent. We've seen that throughout the years. This is not, you know, like a Moniak situation where he's got suddenly hot just randomly. He's always been kind of a consistently kind of good player. Yes, he's had some definite peaks, but definitely Cooper should be much better than how he's playing.
Yeah, I wasn't aware. I wasn't aware of the injury aspect there with him. That's unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, I guess right-handed hitters, his batting average on the year is 189. So I kind of understand why he's sending his righties right now. if he can't get that figured out, but he's smashing lefties at 368. But you want to see a guy playing against righties. I mean, that's typically the strong side of the platoon. So, you know, you're going to get a lot more games if you can play against righties. And if you're sitting against righties right now, then goodbye. You're not on my roster. I do not take guys who are on the short side of the platoon. Not even close. There's no point.
I feel like there's a joke somewhere to be had in there, but let's move on.
Well, the joke is on Dap here with this next guy. And we're going to talk about his boy, Taylor Walls. Sorry.
Not where I was going, but...
Oh, you got jokes.
Circle back like 3 weeks ago when he was all over Taylor Walls. No, just kidding, man. For good reason.
Dap was on the short. For good reason, man.
He started off hot, came out of nowhere. You know... WRC Plus in 2022, just to put this in perspective, granted he like barely played, but right. 66.
Right.
What did he hit, like two home runs? I mean, I'm totally making that up, but it wasn't very many more than that, if it was more than... He hit eight. My bad. I'm sorry. He actually did hit more than I thought. He's already hit seven on the year. His batting average is 244.
Okay.
But it was way higher than that, right?
Right.
Before. WRC Plus in the beginning of May was 155 down to 52. I mean, the bottom has fallen out for him. I mean, I think this is another one where, like, maybe people wanted to see it. Kind of would have been almost like a feel-good story. Like, oh, this defensive guy figured out how to play, like, how to hit, right? Nah, right. Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. So look, again, this is like the Norlin Gorman thing, right? I have Walls in a bunch of dynasty leagues, and I was trying to sell him at pennies on the dollar for anybody, because exactly what you said, he's a defensive wizard. And when it comes to the Rays, you just can't trust somebody's going to be an everyday player unless it's Franco. That's about it. Franco and, you know, Yandy, and that's about it, right? Everybody else,
even Lau, we don't know, can't get on the field game.
Yeah, I know exactly.
But even then, every once in a while, you're like, why? Why is he sitting? Dude's like, good.
He's playing against a Colorado pitcher, and wait, he's on the bench? What is he doing? It's just how it is with the Tampa Bay, right? So I was like, wow, you know, Walls is suddenly hitting. And the thing is, like, he brought up his home run power, right? I mean, at no time, even in the minors, did he hit more than six home runs, except in 2021 when he hit eight in AAA in 2021, right? So for him to start off as hot as he did, that was nuts. So again, dug a little deeper, and he knew, and he was quoted on MLB.com and with the Tampa Bay newspaper as well, and a couple other places, that he had a lot to prove, and he changed his batting stance and a couple other things. Now, changing batting stance lets you get to the ball better. Great. But good Lord, the guy just was hitting home runs, and, you know, he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, stealing bases as well. But the key is that his OBP was, you know, almost 100 points higher than last year. I mean, that's where kind of we are right now, and about 50 points higher than, you know, the year before. Yeah. Now, mind you, yes, right, a lot more games, a lot more plate appearances, but he was striking out about the same. He's never been a big strikeout guy, about 25% after all these other people we talked about, you know, 30s, etc. And he's been a walk guy, right? 13%-ish. It was him actually just hitting the ball that was always kind of the problem.
Right.
But guess what, though? You know, you can almost put up with that. And, you know, with at least in the leagues I've seen, he's three position eligible, second, short, two position eligible, second, short. But, you know, he's stealing a ton of bases, right?
I was going to say.
And that's, I mean, yes, I know it's a stolen base bonanza this year, but, you know, 15 stolen bases is not nothing. He's not going to give you any RBIs. This is not going to be his thing. But if you can get 20 home runs out of a guy like this, even 15, but he gives you 40 stolen bases, which he's easily going to outbeat. I think you kind of put up with these kind of slow points. You shouldn't be expecting home run power from Taylor Walls. If you drafted him, there's no way, and I would love for you to show me, that you expected to have even double-digit home runs from this guy. So
I need you to prove to me that you actually drafted him. Let's be real. Unless you're in like a 32-team league, 30-team league, there's no way you drafted this guy. Let's be real.
Right.
No, but
unless you're an auto draft or something.
Draft for defense. I was gonna say, like, only
his WRC plus in this last part of May has been bad. It's because of the power, and like his average has dipped considerably. But even with the few amount of times he's gotten on base, he's stolen 8 bases over the last 2 weeks. That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's only gotten on base, you know, 143 average, on base percentage 286. So he's still walking a good bit, but like, that's nuts.
Yep.
He's scored 7 of those times he's stolen a base, too. That's the Tampa offense for you.
Yeah. It still hasn't cooled down.
Yeah.
We actually have a question here from Charles. Drop Liam Kendricks for
Schauver.
Need to find a gem and willing to gamble a bit. 10-team head-to-head league.
Kendricks. Hendricks. Okay.
I think it's Hendricks.
Like, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Hendricks. I'm tired. all right. So, yeah. What do you guys think there? I'm going to let you. He's talking about AJ Smith Schauver, by the way, from the Braves. So if it's a head-to-head league and we don't know, I mean, I don't know what your, Charles, great question. I don't know what your, if it's K9, whip, what you're dealing with there. But if it's a saves-only league, I definitely would not be dropping anybody that could give you saves. But if it's a saves-hold league, then yeah, absolutely, drop Liam all day long. I definitely think AJ Smith Schauver is going to do amazing. I think he's going to have some amazing ratios as well. The only thing I'm concerned about, and this has nothing to do with any math, is that, frankly, all the pitching prospects that have been called up lately suck. It's kind of like, watching a roulette wheel, right? Yes, you see 40 reds in a row, and you're thinking mathematically it shouldn't matter. It's 50-50, but you're still like, do I bet against the grain? Other than that, I have AJ Smith Schauver in a bunch of teams. And I absolutely think he's going to be amazing. And I'm starting him. So, yeah, I would drop him.
I would say in a 10-team league, you might not have to take that gamble. But
oh, true. I didn't see that part.
I just don't know if, the Braves are a good team. So, like, I mean, how long is he going to be up there? That kind of thing. So, I mean, sure, you can strike gold, but yeah, if it's a saves only league, I'm kind of out. I almost guarantee there's better out there on your waiver wire in a 10-team league, unless it's like a 30-man roster type league where they're trying to, balance back out the fact that it's only 10 teams. I know of leagues like that. We talk about people on Discord all the time with those types of leagues where it's like, it's only a 10-team league, and then they show us the waiver wire, and you're like, how? Oh, they had like 35 roster spots. So basically it's like 10-team dynasty at that point. Right. And so it does get pretty shallow. But I'm kind of out on that one.
Saves and hold, Charles. I just saw your comment. Just go ahead and drop them. It's fine.
Yeah. You can take the gamble there. There's a million relievers that you'll find. Yeah. So yeah, okay. So that changes my stance on that. Last guy here, another Oakland Athletic, JJ Bleday.
Why? You do this on purpose. I see that. Okay, cool. No problem. I got you, Joe.
I do.
Okay, I'll take this one.
I mean, they get your hopes up, and then they rip it. They rip your heart out. It's not my fault, man. I'm just telling the story.
JJ was the guy that has been discussed on this show, the Fantasy Six Pack Hour Pod, with our good friend Chris Blessing, for years, because of his Moniak-esque prowess as a prospect coming up, fourth overall pick by Detroit. in 2019. Just had to throw that out there. Just kidding, Miami. Yeah, he just hasn't really put much together in his big league appearances.
Since you're giving all the background, can you tell us how the A's acquired JJ, please? Because I want to relive this nightmare again.
I'm going to say that it was in somewhere around 2022, 23.
Say the player that we gave away for him, because I want to relive this nightmare.
I don't actually know.
It's okay. I'll help you out there. All right, go ahead.
So yes,
I was gonna say this was the AJ Puck trade.
Oh, that's right. I did know that actually.
Yeah, it's okay.
And you would think with me being an AJ, him being an AJ, and also a JJ thrown in here, it's like, hey, we just want to get rid of initials, so we're gonna trade it for more initials. okay. I get it, people. So there's a method to my madness. It's called drinking. Anyway, yes, Mr. Blade has not lived up to much of anything with a solid BABIP of 229. Sorry. Only a 20% K rate, so not too shabby there. But he's just not.
Joe, can you invite me onto your guys' football during football season? Because I want to give AJ-esque insights, please. Please just give me one chance give you AJ.
All right. So
are you trying to claim I know nothing about baseball?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm gonna let you two fight this one out.
Fight? I love you, some AJ. Look, JJ Blade, man, he's broken hearts. Especially people that are in dynasty leagues that drafted him. And he had a lot of love in Miami, right? We were expecting some big things, and he just sucked. I mean, wasn't even close, right?
Showing a little bit of life here early on, but not.
Yeah, he definitely did, and I think it was one of those things where it's like, this team loves me, and pitchers don't know, haven't figured me out yet, and then pitchers figuring him out. I mean, it's one of those. The classics, right? NL to AL, and nobody knows, and then they get the tape, and then they're like, okay, we got you.
Yeah.
The thing is that the A's should have tons of at-bats available, and he's been that bad that they're benching him a bunch.
Finding ways to bench him.
Right.
Or that tells me trying not to win.
So
that too.
Since the 16th of May, he has not played in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games total. But it looks like he may have pinch hit in another 2 games. How many hits does he have in that time frame? Also, just 2.
Okay, I thought this was trivia. I was gonna be like 3. Cool. that's good, though, right, AJ?
Again, the good thing: only 5 strikeouts.
Okay. Well,
when you don't play, you don't strike out.
He's just somehow, managed to. No, but he is playing. That's what I'm saying. Pinch hit today or yesterday. Yeah. 0 for 1. No strikeout. 1 hit 2 days ago in 2 appearances. I'm guessing 2 walks. It's ugly. Yeah. I don't like it.
Sorry. All right. So we were doing good on time. Then AJ got onto the AJ train and the JJ train. And
you're welcome.
I don't know what train, and we're
it's
we're
the
done.
Initial train.
We're done.
The first train.
Okay. That's anyway, so we're gonna move over to a couple of pitchers here because we realize we haven't talked about a whole lot of pitchers on this show in the last probably month because they all sort of suck.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about a breakout or bust candidate. The first one here, we're kind of cheating because we do know he's had some really phenomenal seasons, but lately, like, we need him to re-break out. Let's put it real. Like, James Paxton, Mr. Always Injured. I mean,
need him to stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, last season he got through 1 1/3 inning. I mean, it was like, holy crap, did that really just happen? We know he can be a really good pitcher when he's healthy. He started out pretty well overall. I'm using Sierra as kind of the like the way to compare the pitching here. And I looked at like his Sierra in early May, 185. That's phenomenal. It's dropped to 397. So, you know, it's still not atrocious. But you know, can you trust this guy? Would you pick him up if he was somehow still out there in your league? Just to hope.
I picked him up already. And
he sucks now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of our call ups of the week, you know, that we had picked out, I think, not last week, but the week before.
Yep.
And it was exactly that. You know, it was kind of old as new again. And, you know, he really has 2 years, or three if you really count it, of not pitching much. So, you know, kind of hopefully not hasn't messed up his arm. But look, I think pitching has been so bad this year. And yeah, it's either been injured or bad. It just depends on your team makeup. I have to risk in a lot of leagues because I've lost anywhere from three pitchers to half of my pitching staff. There's no other choice. If I had a choice, would I pick Paxton? Heck no.
Right.
But it's got to the point where I'm like, okay, he's throwing some strikes.
Who's actually throwing strikes and not getting crushed. I will say this. So like, take his WRC or his Sierra with a grain of salt. He got kind of crushed against the Angels. That's the one game out of the four he's pitched since he's come off the IL that he's been bad. You know, two earned runs, one, five, and then one. And he's been striking out some dudes. So like you're getting exactly what you hope for from this guy.
Seven walks against 27 strikeouts is great. For a guy trying to pick off the waiver wires and just kind of start. And I think 12.8 Ks per nine against like three of his walks per nine. Again,
that
tells me somebody's not gonna destroy my ratios, right? Yeah. Except for that last start, which of course destroyed him. That's serviceable right now with the landscape. I'm gonna grab him if it again off waivers. I'm not gonna trade for the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. next up here we got Mr. Joe Ryan. His early May Sierra was 2.98, so looking like a bit of a breakout. You know, his Sierra last year was right around four, but now he's back to that. So maybe not so much. Like, I think a lot of people like Joe Ryan. He's got some talent. I just don't know what to make of him. Like, he just doesn't seem to, he's not consistently good enough. Like, what do you think?
So we highlighted Joe Ryan in the offseason because he's one of the, we're looking at pitchers that went to Driveline. And Joe Ryan was one of the kind of the top of the guys that we highlighted as he went to Driveline, and he worked on a couple different things as well, you know, where his, release points and things of that nature. The thing is that when he's been hot, he's been super hot, and, you know, he's hasn't allowed runs. The thing that's been kind of weird with him, and before we get to where he's gotten blown up, is that his K rate hasn't been, you know, consistent at all. He's had like two Ks and then, you know, nine Ks, and then he's had three Ks. And that's the one thing that's kind of weird and worrisome about that. You kind of want to see a list, you know, somebody throwing like five Ks per or something of that nature. That huge fluctuations, extremely odd, especially 10, for somebody
3, who's 7, 4, 10, 9, 4, 6. Let's see, it is all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the one thing. So on the other side, though, man, he's gotten blown up, and not just once, or I think three times now that he's given up like 8+ runs. I'm doing off the top of my head, so I apologize.
If we're looking at like 5 and 3 and 3s and 4s, and then there are a couple like 0s and 1s mixed in.
Sorry about that. Yeah. But I mean, everything else though, it looks good, right? His chase rate, is one of the highest, right? He's definitely up there, with his chase rate and, you know, getting swings and misses. So I'm definitely still not dropping him. And in Dynasty, for sure, I am grabbing him if he's available on the cheap. But yeah, this is definitely not a dropping guy, especially in the climate we have with pitchers. Again, what we just talked about with Paxton. I would love to have a Ryan over a Paxton any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, his ERA is 2.77. So like, he's still performing overall for you.
Right.
You just may have to, like, when he plays like a hot lineup, like Houston's starting to figure things out and he got crushed.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's the one where you're like, maybe not today.
Right.
If you can do that, there's just, but you know, when he plays the Cubs and he could do 10 strikeouts, six innings, no runs, like, okay, that's the type of guys. And, you know, I would say like the top tier lineups could still get to him. The, you know, the middle and down, I think are easy starts for him.
Yep. Great.
Yeah. Ryan is, started the year with five straight wins. You know, he's an innings eater, so he's going to be out there. I mean, really just these last two games, is the only two that he's pitched less than six innings. And he was kind of cruising in San Fran. I'm a little surprised.
He still won. He just,
yeah, he still got the win.
Pulled him.
they just right. pulled him out. And then, like you said, Houston, he got beat up. So that one made sense. I'm definitely holding Ryan. Big fan of what I've seen from him so far. His mustache could use a little bit of work, but it's coming in nicely. So I'm good with it. I'm ready to ride it. Ride him out. Sorry, not the mustache, right? Or maybe the mustache.
All right. So next up, a teammate of his. I'm ignoring. Yeah.
You can.
Bailey Ober, of the Minnesota Twins, came up in the very end of April here. And this is a guy I've always been a fan of. Like every time he comes up, he seems like he performs. But he's performing way better than he did even last year. But now it's starting to go in the other direction a little bit for him. So he is not a big innings eater. I mean, we're talking like he kind of pitches five and that's really it.
Right.
He's not going to be like a 10, 11, 12 strikeouts per nine guy. He's going to hover around eight. So not going to be truly great there. And I think that actually hurts his Sierra. His ERA is far better than his Sierra. And it's because he doesn't just like pummel through hitters with strikeouts, right? You know, he's going to allow some base runners and he's going to rely on his ground ball percentages to get him out of jams. What's your take on Ober Dapp, and you know, sure. Are you selling him at a high price, thinking people might be looking at a 2.68 ERA and thinking, oh, this is the real deal?
Yeah, I mean, look, if I get a nice package back for him, absolutely, I'd sell him any day of the week. Because like what you said, right, he's not going to be a high strikeout guy. I think I can definitely augment strikeouts elsewhere. You know, looking at relievers and things of that nature. But what surprises me when digging a little deeper, like we did a pre-show, you know, his CSW, right, which is, called or swinging strikes, it was 27.5% before his last start, which is pretty high considering, again, this is a guy that doesn't supposedly give a lot of strikeout stuff and his chase percentage is over 30%. Those are two things that I didn't expect considering how many people he strikes out. You'd almost expect somebody, if you just saw those two numbers, to have a much higher strikeout rate than Ober does. The ratios are great, but again, it's going to be one of those situations where does he even go five innings to qualify for a win? Those are the other kind of pieces that make me not a big fan of Ober. Other than that, right, he's great. Now, if you're looking at anybody that you know, can provide quality starts or things of that nature, again, this is not going to be your guy. But if you just need like back to the thing, right? If warm body, if it's been decimated, just he's perfect. He's amazing. He's way better than, you know, Paxton ever could be in this situation. And I like the team that he's on as well defensively. But I'm not a huge Ober fan. I'm just sorry. I like strikeout guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the minors, he's had seasons where he's been really good. But once he comes up, yeah. And this happened last year, it plummets. For some reason, like he could strike out 11, 12 in the minors, and then it comes down and it's like, oh, 8.2, 8.20 right. And 8.26. There you go. That's what you're getting, I guess. You can't deny the ratios, man. It's phenomenal.
That could be because he's pitching against major league hitters and not minor league hitters.
Oh, is that it?
Just, I'm going on a whim here.
I feel like I had to humor you sometimes, AJ, like my 6-year-old. Just going on a whim. Oh, is that really it? Thank you, AJ.
You know what, AJ? I think that's amazing.
Thank you for teaching me something new.
It is. Thank you. It's very insightful insight. So
thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Go ahead and move on.
This one's another one who we were kind of grasping at straws here, like for some of find some pitchers.
Excuse me, sir.
It's either been good and good or bad and bad for pitchers. There hasn't been a lot of guys that started off like really good and they were like unexpected and now they're falling off. But like, I think Kyle Freeland falls into that category. Now we've seen glimpses of Kyle Freeland where you're like, all right. But let's be real. Let's do pitchers in Colorado. So like, overall though, like it hasn't been abysmal for him. He started off really, really well outside of one just crazy bad game on the 17th of April against Pittsburgh where he allowed 9 runs. Then it was pretty decent. He actually pitched arguably worse on the road in the early part of the season than he did at home outside of that one start against Pittsburgh. And then he goes on the road. And of course, I'm like, I was like desperate for pitching. And I was like, he gets a 2-start week. He gets Texas and Miami. And it's at Texas, not in Colorado.
Sure.
Crushed. 8 runs at Texas. And then comes back home and thankfully saves sort of a mediocre week against Miami at home. 2 runs. You're like, how do you pitch better at home than you are on the road this year? What do we do with this guy?
Okay, you missed the most important part of that Ranger start, other than, of course, getting crushed. 0 strikeouts. I mean, none. No walks, but 0 strikeouts. You cannot roster this guy. He can't be anywhere near your roster. If you're getting blown up, at least strike people out, right? But if you're not even striking people out, you literally, unless you're trying, you're going to get kicked out of the league because you're not meeting minimums or something, Freeland should be nowhere near your team. I mean, like I wouldn't even wish Freeland on my worst enemy unless it's AJ, right? Like, absolutely no way. There's nothing really to say. Like, he's terrible everywhere, right? It's not even like a Rockies pitcher where it's like, he's better at home. Like you just said, he sucks.
How weird is this though? A 3.38 ERA at home.
Yep.
And a 5.4 ERA on away.
Yeah, I guess the humidor. I mean, talking about strikeout, like, you know, wavering from, you know, last pitcher, right? Let's look at his last couple starts, right? April 17th against the Pirates, 1, then Philly, 6, then 3, then 5, then 4, then 8, then 0, then 4.
He's definitely not a strikeout pitcher. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's been hovering around 6.5 his whole career. No, thank you. I get it. I just know that there have been people, maybe me included, who I just admitted, that snatched him up. You know, like, again, this was my TGFBI team that has just been crushed. I mean,
you're top of the ranks. Oh, sorry. I was trying to build you up.
Are we reversing those ranks? Because that would be cool.
Whatever you want.
So I was desperate, and I was like, he was sort of on a heater there for a while. Sure, why not? 2-start week, you know, it's too pretty. I know Texas was kind of rolling, but I took the gamble and lost big time.
Why it's called gambling?
Yeah. So,
gotta know when to hold him, know when to fold him, and you never want to hold him if Kyle Freeland is in your hand. Dump him like a bad.
Oh yeah, he definitely got dropped the very next time. So, all right, we're going to skip this last guy because I feel like we've talked about this last guy like every single week. So, we're done.
Look out below for Bello. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So, we're going to go back to our game that we started a couple weeks ago, that Dap's idea of who's hotter, and I'm going to have some fun with this one. I looked this up and was actually pretty shocked. Over the last 15, who's hotter? Aaron Judge or Josh Jung? And before you answer, let me just tell you this. The WRC Plus, 264 for Judge and 262 for Jung, however you pronounce it.
So as a Judge owner, as a person that owns him in a few leagues, I would say Young just because, but that blew me away what you said. I mean, please go over it with the rest of the stats. But I mean, look, bottom line, his home runs have been great, but some of these other numbers have just not been where you expected. But go ahead. I want to hear some more young so, stuff. Like,
you know, you look at it, and of course, when you think Aaron Judge, you think home runs, right? And so, of course, that's what he's got. 8 home runs of 4. So he wins that. He wins RBI and runs, but not by a lot. 15 to 14, 15 to 12. He's 1 stolen base. Young does not steal at all. I mean, they're both hitting. They're both just crushing the ball. Batting average 353 for Judge. Young 440. Bad BIP for Young is 514, though. Like, so this is not sustainable. But, I mean... It's pretty crazy just to see how good this guy Young has played over the last couple of weeks. I was like, I was just like, oh, let's play this game again. Let me see who like the top 2 hitters are. I was like, oh, there's Judge. And excuse me? Okay. I mean, I knew he was playing well, but not that well. Jeez. I was expecting Judge and Freeman, which was number 3.
Josh Jung has always been a guy that they've constantly talked about. I mean, look up, just, you know, search Josh Jung and swing change or swing mechanics or swing adjustments, and it's everywhere. It's almost every year they've hyped up his, you know, need to change his swing, or he has made a swing change. And that was something that they even put in his scouting report when he was coming out of college, that he had to change his swing to tap into his power. I think he was Texas Tech. He was coming out of Texas Tech. And so is this interesting to me, because all these years they've talked about, like, you know, he needed to make a change. He just made a big change. And so far, it's just interesting. So in 2023, he made, you know, kind of another kind of large change as well. And it's obviously paying off. But it's just, it's just crazy to me that this guy has really had to go through the ringer with this swing. And, you know, he's always had the talent, and the underlying metrics, again, were there. But it's one of those things that he finally was able to find something to make it work. And like we've heard, you know, multiple times in the show, the Nolan Gormans of the world, things of that nature, just making those adjustments or reworking the swing entirely can lead to some pretty amazing numbers.
Yeah, I mean, exit velocity is up 7 miles per hour right now. Launch angle's up 3 degrees, like hard hit rates up 7. Those are pretty drastic differences, honestly, and that's gonna make all the difference in the world when you've got the potential that he does and the power that this guy has. Like, if you can start making those drastic changes, then that's where it's coming from. Now, I mean, he's not gonna keep up this rate, neither is Judge, but
okay, you know. So it comes down to this. I'm offering you a trade for whatever, a player from your team, and I can give you either Judge or Jung for one or the other. You can't have both.
It's Aaron Judge.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
All right. I just wanted, for the people watching, bottom line, I wanted to, you know, I get the hotter thing, don't get me wrong, hot or not, I just wanted to see if even a little doubt started swinging into your mind there.
No, I mean, yeah. Judge is going to go through his periods where he's going to hit like 2 home runs and bat, you know, 150 for like a week.
Only 2 home runs. Oh, Judge.
He's going to get pissed. But, you know, he's going to do this where he's going to hit 8 and, you know, bat 300, and you're going to be just fine with Aaron Judge.
Exactly.
I think.
How about in Dynasty? Would you want Judge or Jung? Again, I mean, like in the next 5 years, right? Over the next 5 years,
yeah,
who can be happy with it? That's gonna be more of a toss up, right?
5 Judge is what?
31. Okay,
he just turned 31 in April.
Okay,
yeah, you know, that one's tough because, man, power. We've seen it. Power can drop off like.
Yeah,
off the cliff. Although we've also seen it just keep going, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
Like, man, it's weird. Like, Judge seems like a different specimen that like he could keep it going, but you never know. Like, his body breaks down too, so that does worry me there. I don't think I'm making the swap. you'd probably have to throw in a little extra with Young to get an Aaron Judge off of me, but I like that piece. He's, you know, for sure,
safely in 18 of his last 20 games.
Wow.
You know, the game that he didn't get a hit in was against Oakland.
As it should
Hey, all right.
Positive news. Positive news.
Only 1K, but 0 for 5. He hit safely Yay. In every game from May 15th to through yesterday, and he's off today. And then the four games ahead of that, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
All right, so just a couple other news and notes here exactly. that we want to talk Thank about you. Here. Yeah, Aaron Judge will miss a month when he's injured for sure. The return of Liam Hendricks, which we've already kind of talked about a little bit here. You know, look, I don't really know what to expect from this guy, honestly. It's a super feel-good story. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. I wasn't really aware of it, honestly. I've been sort of head in the sand for some reason the last couple of days and not paying a lot of attention, working on a bunch of other things. But I knew he had beaten, you know, cancer and he was on his way back. So I just didn't know what already happened. I didn't know he had gotten the call back. So
in December 2022, he was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and less than 6 months later, he's pitching. I mean, that's just nuts. Again, feel good story, amazing, and the ovation that he got, they were flicking the lights on and off, you know, and they were going nuts for him, as obviously they should. And his first pitch is a strike. Don't care the rest of the stat line. Honestly, could have just stood up there and then walked off, and I would have been completely fine and happy with it.
Yeah.
Chills, and I'm an Oakland A's fan. I had chills on it, and it's just an amazing, amazing story. I'm so happy for him and his family, and obviously the entire community. And I think it's an amazing pillar for, you know, other people battling cancer as well. That, you know, somebody like that could, you know, overcome this type of, you know, disease. So good. Great, great story.
So from a fantasy perspective, do you think he takes back this closer role? Like, no doubt if he pitches leave relatively well. Because
I think the White Sox are such a mess. The White Sox are such a mess that I think absolutely there's room for him to take it. I picked him up, you know, again, from a fantasy perspective, I picked him up and he's been sitting on all my ILs wherever I had him. He can grab it with no problem. And I think, honestly, I think the White Sox want to give it to him, not only because of I can almost see them say, look, you know, you don't lose your spot because of cancer. You know what I mean? They're old school enough that I see them do that versus, like, you know, look at the metrics or whatever. You know, I see them definitely trying to, you know, move him into the closer role as quickly as possible.
Yeah. AJ, you sound like you were about to say something. Sorry.
I was just going to say, we saw it with Trey Mancini, too, coming back and had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
When he returned, I've always been a fan of Hendricks, you know, even when he did have to pitch for Oakland. But that's really where he kind of came up and started, you know, making some noise.
I stood up for you, man. I've been standing up for you, AJ. This is how you treat me. I got it.
I'm standing up for Hendricks right now and cancer and the Oakland A's, because that's where I first found out about Hendricks and how great he was. But yeah, a great story. Glad to see him back. And I hope he does regain this role. I think he will. And I think he's going to run with it. So.
All right.
So next piece of news, we got some good news also. Jordan Walker's back for the St. Louis Cardinals here. Got sent down, lack of playing time. Our boy Nolan Gorman pushed him out.
Darn you, Nolan.
I'll be honest, though, man. Like, he hasn't really done great in the minors. 239 average down there. I mean, some of the counting stats, okay. I mean, you know, 4 bombs, 14 runs, 16 RBI. But you expect a guy with this kind of talent to go down to the minors and just absolutely rake, which is what he did last year and the year before. he got sent down, and I don't know if he just wasn't interested, but like he actually hit better when he was up with a major league team. He just, I guess Gorman outplayed him. So I guess my question is whose spot in the lineup is he actually taking? Because the Cardinals have been playing a lot better lately.
Everybody's.
And is it consistent enough playing time that it's worth, you know, them calling him up, or do we expect him to potentially just get sent back down soon?
Well, so first off, I mean, look, anytime somebody who's a highly touted prospect, right, is going to, you know, get sent down, I gotta have to be bummed. I, you know, these guys aren't robots, and I expected, you know, kind of somebody to, you know, act like that. Your stat line's dead on, but I think that, you know, he definitely found his rhythm here in the last 10 games, and it was batting .342 with 5 extra base hits, 8 RBIs in his last 10 games, and that's by MLB Pipeline. I think that he was always kind of, like you said, he needed to find at-bats. Look, there's a lot there. You know, Paul DeJong, for one. If I don't even know why he's still at the Major League Club. You know, there's a ton of places there that I think that he could find an at-bat. And frankly,
can he play shortstop?
No, but I mean, you know, we talked about the other players that could be moved. I mean, they could be shuffled around, right? I mean,
sure, yes. Yeah. This obviously, I mean, this has to do more obviously with Nubar getting injured, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Saying, like, you know, you just wonder, like, I don't know how severe that injury is. So, like, you just wonder, like, if when he comes back, if he's going to step back down, that kind of thing. And so that's the worry there. It's like, but, you know, however, if for some reason he was sitting on your waiver wire, I'm sure by the time we've recorded this show, he's been gone. He's been snatched up. But hopefully you were, you know, lucky enough to grab him if he got dropped. And yeah, I mean,
look, I mean Lars Nubar, Dylan Carlson, you know, Tyler O'Neill. I mean, Tyler O'Neill is kind of the guy that was supposed to, you know, be amazing. But, you know, none of those guys have really, in my mind, just completely separated themselves from Jordan Walker. And I was
Burleson.
I was being ridiculous, obviously, about, you know, DeJong, just because we talked about him during our prep. And, oh, my God, I didn't realize how bad those stats were. He needs to learn how to play shortstop. But, yeah, Jordan Walker, if he's on your waiver wires, go grab him now before any of your league mates, you know, see this show and go grab him. It was only called out a couple hours ago.
Yeah. Last piece of news here.
Your boy.
Bad news, but I'm not really super sad about it because we traded him.
Yes, we did, because we knew this was coming.
Chris Sale pulled from today's start after 3 2/3 inning with a shoulder injury. It just looked wonky. Go look at the clip. He threw, and then like he just sort of like jumped up, because you could tell it just like it. They're just calling it like shoulder soreness or whatever right now, but it just looked weird. And so he was cruising though, like, and he's been really good the last, you know, month, really.
Right.
He got through that first month and was good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. He's been cruising, striking out a ton of bats. Was doing it again tonight, and then, yeah, the shoulder injury. So I think I would expect an IL stint from him. I'd be shocked if he didn't. You know, they're going to protect this guy as much as possible. They're paying him boatload of money still, so they've got to try to get some sort of return on investment here with him. But I don't know. No, I don't think anybody's shocked.
Right, that's the thing, right? It's I just traded for Glass now, and so I'm going to suffer a similar fate. But I know what I'm getting with him, and you should know what you're getting with Sale, right?
Who's the next man up in Boston now, though? I wonder.
Oh, goodness. I mean, probably going to be, oh, God. I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head now.
Hulk.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, man.
Clearly memorable. A memorable.
Shut up. Good point.
I don't really know who it's going to be.
I mean, I don't know who's going to be the. I mean, they're probably going to call up one of the. You know, not call up, but they're probably going to grab one of the bullpen arms. Would be my guess. I mean,
Hauk's already in the rotation, yeah, so like they're already struggling here with this. So
Kluber, Wincott.
I mean, do they grab Brian Mata out of AAA? Would be my only other thought. But you know, I don't even know how he's doing this year. And then you have Brandon Walter. So those two, yeah. So I would. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Good luck. But Mata's not doing good, so I would guess not him.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. I really don't know who it's gonna be, and honestly it's probably not anybody that I would say go out and grab. Like, we're not that desperate to go grab whoever crappy bullpen or crappy
Mata. I'd rather grab Freeland than whoever they're about to put. Ooh,
wow.
So yes. Oh, yeah. And I do like this. You know. So look, if you traded for Sale thinking that you were going to have somebody that was going to play all season, you're insane. And I also would like to trade with you more often, whoever that person is. So please let me know if you thought Sale was going to play all season, so I could trade with you. Because
if you are not aware, this is a complete burn on a manager in. in one of the dynasty leagues that we share a team in. So yes, thank you. All right, guys, that is it for the show. I want to thank you for joining, and we will be back next week to discuss some more baseball. Have a good night, everyone.
All right, see you.
See ya.
Yeah.